urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is October 21st, 2024, and I am so thrilled to be with you today. So let us begin in prayer as we always do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we offer this program up to you today, and we pray again, as we have been, for all the victims of Hurricane Helene and Milton. We pray, Father God, that their homes be restored, that they be fed, they have electricity and their medicines, and that all the necessary emergency teams get to them. We pray that they have a spirit of hope, not of despair. And we pray for all those who lost loved ones today, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you bring them comfort and healing. We also pray, Father God, for our upcoming election. We pray that you place on the hearts of all those who are listening the candidate that you want in the White House. We pray, Father God, that people are convicted to know your holy will, that we live a biblical life. And Father God, we offer all this in your holy name, and we pray for that one listener today who needs to hear the message that will be preached in your holy name. Amen. Well, my friends, I have to tell you a little story before I begin. On Friday, this is 1 year today to this date that I fell off the bleachers and broke both of my legs and crushed my right femur. And you all know the journey. If you don't, go to the In His Sign Catholic Radio Network and look under podcast, and the early August radio program is the story of that recovery and the healing and the involvement of Kathleen McCarthy and friends and family. But my friends, it is today 1 year, so it's a very special anniversary to me. But on Friday, I have to share this, while cleaning out a playroom that was filled with junk, I think it's called a soundbar, a Bluetooth soundbar, fell on my foot and literally crushed my foot. So by Friday night, I was in agony, and I could think that it rates right up there with giving birth to a child. So it was so bad that at about 11:25, and I thought, you can't go to the ER because they'll just take x-rays and say, you need to see an orthopedic. I didn't know what to do because it was Friday evening. So I kept saying, praise you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, a million times. I think I was driving my husband crazy. And then at 11:25, I know the exact time, the pain was so excruciating that I texted Kathleen and said, could you pray for me? I broke my foot and I'm in excruciating pain. And she replied immediately, I felt that surge of power go through me. I knew that she was praying for me because I was in tears and pain. And I really thought, I told my husband, I really thought that we would call an ambulance to take me to the hospital, because remember, I had just recovered from two broken legs and here I had a broken foot. So what in the world would I do? So I knew that she prayed for me through the night, and trust me, I prayed to Fulton Sheen, to St. Padre Pio, to every saint imaginable, and offering up the pain for all the special intentions for those who are in my family and those who have asked my husband and I to pray for them. It was an agonizing night, but I knew that God was with me. And by the morning, we got in touch with a doctor who said, well, our offices are closed. We can't do anything, so I'll tell you what to do, and he did. And so we just prayed and just believed that by Monday, God had a plan. And I knew that something was happening. The pain was still excruciating, but it wasn't at the level as when I texted Kathleen at 11:25 on Friday evening. So today I had made an appointment Well, actually, it was about 2 weeks ago with a spinal doctor, and tomorrow a foot doctor a month ago. And I said to my husband, it isn't an accident that I'm seeing two different types of surgeons in 2 days. God has a plan, and I have no idea what it is. And I kept saying to him, God has a plan, as he waited on me, hand and foot, no pun intended. So this morning I went and had x-rays at 8:30 in the morning, and of my foot and spinal column and my hip and my femur, and the foot was not fractured. To my surprise, there's just no way that foot wasn't fractured, because I was in a walking boot and the foot had turned pink. It actually had some color, whereas it was pure white. And I want you to know that the doctor said, what happened to you with the foot? And I told him, and he just looked at me and he said, well, you're going to be in pain for a long time. This isn't going to heal right away because it's the bone and the nerves and the metatarsals. But the good news is it isn't fractured. The bad news is it's going to take a while to heal. And so I thanked him, and then we went on with the rest of the appointment. And I said to my husband, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was the prayer of Kathleen again that I was healed. There's just no way. I'm crying. No way that that wasn't fractured. It was crushed. And the pain was so excruciating. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was my dear Kathleen. And she texted me the next morning and she said, how are you? And I said, it was a long night, but I made it through the night. And she said she was soaking me in prayer all night. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. I always am overwhelmed with gratitude, the power of prayer. And so even though it hurts a ton and it's going to take a long time, I know that it could have been far worse. And this on the anniversary of when I broke two legs, and Kathleen was involved in the healing of that as well. So for those of you who are listening and don't believe in the power of prayer, I do. And I kept saying to my husband Friday evening before in the early evening, I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in miracles. And I kept saying, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I kept saying it over and over and over again like a script. And I want to express my gratitude for the Lord and for Kathleen and for this amazing apostolate, because it's only through this apostolate that we all learn about the power of prayer in our darkest moments. So, and praying about today, I thought, what do you want, Lord? What do you want? And so I have a surprise for all of you. Let's start off with, what does the little flower say about the power of prayer? And if you think you know everything there is to know about prayer, unless you've suffered, you don't. Because St. Thérèse of Lisieux once said, for me, prayer is a surge of the heart. It's a simple look turned toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and of love, embracing both trial and joy. I experienced that surge of the heart when Kathleen started to pray for me from her home, which is probably over an hour or so away. And in the dark night of my living room on the couch, I was crying out to God to please, please help me. So today we're going to be talking about the types of prayers, and I have some stories for you as well. And for those of you who are listening who don't believe, this program is for you. This program is for you. And for those of you who think you know everything about prayer and who are lukewarm, this program is for you. And for those of you who are atheist and don't believe in God at all, this program is for you. So, my friends, we will begin with one of my favorite saints, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who I cried out to in the middle of the night, Friday evening. I looked up in the dark on my phone, quotes from Fulton Sheen, and I prayed to him because I've had some powerful healings through the intercession of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, one of which went to Rome. But I love this type of prayer that he talked about. And he describes three different types of prayer. And I have shared this in the past on the air, but I wanted to share it again because it's so powerful and so personal to me. See, a lot of times when the Lord gives me something in prayer, it's because I'm experiencing it. It's not because I'm a theologian. I am not. I am a retired housewife, and I am not a theologian. So, my friend, one of the three different types of prayer, in vocal prayer, we go to God on foot, don't we? And that's what I was doing Friday night. Vocal prayer involves praying with particular words, either mentally or out loud. We use our powers of speech to give voice to prayer, wishing to give thanks and praise to God and to ask for the graces necessary to grow in holiness. The Our Father, which Jesus taught us to pray, is the perfect form of vocal prayer. Now, the second type of prayer that Archbishop Fulton Sheen mentions, in meditation, we go to God on horseback. Meditation comes from the Latin word meditatio, which means thinking over. A reflective form of prayer, it often begins with reading the Word of God, doesn't it? And allowing it to resonate in our minds and hearts. Well, meditation, my friends, it engages our powers of thought and imagination, as well as our emotions and desires. Fulton Sheen said it marshals our interior powers to focus on the mysteries of our faith and on God's will for our lives. The practice of daily meditation is a very important way to grow in holiness. Now, meditation melts our evil thoughts. Yes, meditation. So I really, you know, of course, if I were not at the place of prayer that I am today, I would have cursed God out. But in all these years, the Lord has taught me to meditate on Him. Meditation melts our evil thoughts, and it withers the passions of the soul. It enlightens our mind. It makes the understanding radiant and fills our heart with joy. My friends, meditation, now I'm talking about Christian meditation, wounds demons and drives away thoughts of wickedness. Did you know that Christian meditation is a mirror for the mind and light for the conscience? And if you're suffering from lust, it tames it. It calms fury. It dispels wrath. It drives away bitterness and puts your irritability to flight. It will run away. That's right, Christian meditation. I'm not talking about the other forms of meditation. It illuminates the mind and expels your laziness. From it is born the tenderness that warms and melts the soul. Living in the presence of God, according to Fulton Sheen, is the key to becoming holy. Now, he also wrote, and I love this, and I'm paraphrasing, there's a study by the name of the Monk Study, and it showed that certain monks were able to pray, and the positive area of the brain, the one that makes us optimistic, it gives us hope. It gives all those crazy neurotransmitters that we hear. It improves our immune system, yes. It improves our feeling of wellness, goodness, and positiveness. It's stimulated by Christian meditation. And they found out that when Americans tried to meditate, they weren't able to open up this optimistic center at all. Can you believe it? Except there was a couple of Americans who could. Now, when they asked what they were meditating on, they said they were saying the rosary. And so the rosary itself opens up what is called the inferior part of the frontal lobe. There's a thing called the positive optimistic center. And the rosary impacted half of that and enhances those feelings of well-being. You know, those things that you hear about and read about and enhance the positive neurotransmitters dopamine, serotonin, which makes us feel healthy, makes us feel active. And by the way, it also prevents Alzheimer's disease. Now, one of the other three forms of prayer that Fulton Sheen talked about, and you'll love this. In contemplation, we go to God in a jet. What? In a jet? Contemplative prayer is a prayer beyond words, isn't it? In which we simply gaze upon the Lord in silence and love. It's likened to the loving silence of a happily married husband and wife who no longer need a lot of words to convey their oneness of mind and heart. Contemplative prayer is a gift of the Holy Spirit that leads us to trustfully surrender ourselves to the Lord and His will for us. The practice of contemplative prayer, as St. Teresa of Avila taught us, and we just celebrated her feast day, is an indication of our growing friendship with Christ. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas once said, contemplation brings us into God's sweetness. It decreases sadness. It gives us rest from the distraction of the senses and blessing us with the ability to perceive more keenly interior inspirations from God. And it increases, strengthens, and directs our affections towards God. So what did I just share with you? You might want to get your tablet out, your pen or your pencil. Fulton Sheen, and he puts it in practical terms, and in terms of what we know, three different types of prayer. Vocal prayer, we go to God on foot. Meditation prayer, Christian meditation, by the way, we go to God on horseback. And what's the last one? Contemplative prayer, Christian contemplative prayer, we go to God in a jet. Now, isn't that easy to remember? Sure, it's easy to remember. So on Friday night, when I was desperate, in pain, I really went to God first in vocal prayer. God, please help me, please. St. Padre Pio, Blessed Mother, all the angels and saints, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Then I went into meditative prayer. You know, just, Lord, I offer this up for those who are suffering in my family, my friends, those in the network. That was meditative prayer. And last but not least, contemplative prayer. We go to God in a jet. It's a prayer beyond words, isn't it? It's a prayer beyond words. So I wanted to share a little bit about my personal journey because, again, I'm not a theologian. I'm not a theologian. I'm just a woman, a retired mom, grandmother, wife, who loves the Lord and wants to share His message with all who listen. Now, today, you know, I really, really prayed because I was such a vulnerable place with the Lord, and that's such a great place to be, isn't it? When you're at your weakest, He is at His strongest. Yes, when we are at our weakest, the Lord is at His strongest. So I really felt that someone who would be listening would be suffering from anxiety, depression, and stress. So here are 12 steps that we're going to use in light of what Fulton Sheen said about the vocal, the horseback, and the jet. Well, of course, as Roman Catholics, and this is a Roman Catholic radio network which reaches out to everyone, confession is so important. And then forgiveness, letting go of grudges, forgiving yourself, remembering anger is one letter away from danger. Anger is one letter away from danger. He who angers you controls you. So if you're angry at the 500 ads on television for the election, you're one step away from danger. Because then that controls you. See, we need to accept God's plan for our lives. We need to accept the reality of negative things in our life. Maybe you lost your job, you're sick, things aren't going well. And the fact that this does not take away from God, who has a beautiful plan for your life and purpose for each one of us. Yes, if you're listening today, you are meant to listen. Even the negative aspects in your life, my friend, play a big role in this beautiful divine plan that God has for you. Now, when you're suffering and you're hurting and you're confused and you've lost your way, believe that God loves you no matter what. Keep saying it. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. I believe that God loves me. God loves me with an everlasting, unconditional love, even when you're depressed. He is with you. That's even when you're depressed. And if you're listening today, he is with you. Now, this is one that I have to practice all the time, and that is gratitude. Having an attitude of gratitude is the key to defeating pessimism. So if you're feeling sorry for yourself today, oh, woe is me. Woe, woe, woe. Well, start to thank God. Thank God for that broken leg. Thank God for the loss of that job. Thank God for your sickness. Thank God for all the things that are going wrong in your life. When you begin to bless the person who has hurt you, you are healed. When you begin to have gratitude for the things that have gone wrong in your life, it releases the anxiety. You see, how many people hear, hey, how you doing? How you doing, Jane? How you doing, Joe? How you doing, Mark? And you say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. We hear that all the time with Kathleen. I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a millionaire. Or if being happy were a crime, I would be in jail. Or if I were any better, I'd be twins. Now, prayer, you need to be in constant communion with God, our Father, who's the divine healer and our wonderful counselor. And that's from Isaiah 9:6. Probably, I think, about 42 years ago, a beautiful Bostonian priest named Father John Lazansky was a friend, and great, great gifts of prayer and healing. He has soon passed on to the Lord. But when my children were little, I said, oh, Father, I don't have time to pray. I just don't have time to pray. And he looked at me in the eyes and he said, you make every living, breathing moment of your life a prayer, no matter how great or how little, every living, breathing moment. If you're cleaning the bathroom, you're making dinner, you're driving your car and you're filling it up, or you're in a staff meeting, you make every living, breathing moment of your life a prayer. And he also said to receive the Holy Eucharist as much as you can. Now, St. Padre Pio said that as well. Jesus is the only source of our healing. We, as human beings, cannot heal. When I shared the story of Kathleen praying for me Friday evening, it wasn't Kathleen who healed me. She was interceding before God the Father to heal me. We also need community. We have to find brothers and sisters in Christ for encouragement, support, and accountability. You're not to be the Lone Ranger. You're not to be an island. God wants you in community. It doesn't have to be 1,000 people. It could be 2 or 3 people in your neighborhood, a prayer group, a scripture study group. We need community. Now, how do we integrate 5 aspects of our being? There's the spiritual, which is the most important. We live daily in the presence of God. There's the physical. Well, that's about eating right and getting exercise. Our mental health, we read and listen to the right things. You don't read trash on your phones or look and anywhere. You just don't. You shut it off. The emotional, you guard your senses. And the social, you maintain good company. You do not associate with people who will bring you into sin. God created and loves every part of who we are and wants us to be whole. We can't neglect one aspect. So we have all five aspects that we have to look at every day in our spiritual journey. We have to look at this. It's so important for us to look at this. Now, living in the present moment, I know that there have been many, many programs over the years on this Catholic network on living in the present moment, including my own, Kathleen, and many others. How in the world can you live in the present moment when your moment is full of nothing but negativity, sin, darkness, evil things being thrown at you? Don't dwell on the past and don't worry about your future. The past is history and the future is mystery. Learn to live in the sacrament of the present moment. It's very important. I believe Ken Johnson and Father Doug talk about living in the divine will. That's living in the present moment. And it's important for us to measure up. Yep, measure up, not down. Judging ourselves from God's mirror and not from the world standards. We are so imbued with the world standards, especially our young people. I see it. They're imbued with the world standards. They're confused. They're always measuring down. They're measuring down, trying to be accepted, trying to live in the moment, but it's not God's moment. It's society's moment. And so we need to take a look at this, my friends. We need to take a look at how our children and our grandchildren are measuring down instead of measuring up. When I was getting my x-rays this morning, I said to the young x-ray technician, you know, when this injury happened, I said a few words that I need to go to confession for. And she said, oh, my mother taught us never to say those words, but we do, but my mother to this day hasn't. And I said, you know what? That's how I was taught. It's a sin to use those moments and to use those words. And I knew that I was measuring down at that moment when I was injured. And it's important for me to go to confession to measure up again. It's not from God. Now, if you are depressed and stressed today, I want you to pray and read The Remedy for Hope in the Lord. And that's Psalm 42, verses 5 to 11. I'm going to say that again before the break. The Remedy for Hope in the Lord, for those of you who are listening, who are stressed and depressed, is Psalm 42, verses 5 to 11. Now, remember that stress is not always a bad thing. And the purpose of stress is to alert us, protect us from real or perceived dangers, which is important for our survival. Stress can excite us, prompt us to act, and force us to use creative problem-solving techniques. Now, stress becomes harmful when the symptoms of stress overwhelm us and prevent us from functioning, at which point stress can even harm our health. So, my friends, after the break, we're going to come back, and we have so much more to share, so stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday live from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. If you can't get us on WTMR 800 a.m. on the dial, then you can listen on Odyssey or iHeartRadio or even on your Alexa. So no matter where you are in the United States or the world, you can hear us. Don't think it's just a regional radio network. It is not. Over 50 plus years on the air, my friends, all the broadcasters are volunteers, and it is an astonishing network, and it's getting even more powerful as the days go on. So I ask that you continue to pray for this network and for all those involved behind the scenes. But in the meantime, we're talking today about the three types of prayer that Fulton Sheen shared with us, and I love Fulton Sheen. And that is in vocal prayer, we go to God on foot. In Christian meditation, we go to God on horseback. And I wish I had a call in because someday I will be in the studio. In Christian contemplative prayer, we go to God in a jet. So picture that, horseback or jet. What do you like? And we're also discussing the 12 steps, the guide to fighting depression, anxiety, and stress. And I just mentioned before the break that the psalmists were often talking about stress and depression. And did you know? Open your Bible tonight. Open your Bible and ask the Lord to show you the psalm that he wants you to read. Now, the remedy for stress and depression is to hope in the Lord and to read Psalm 42, verses 5 to 11. Do you think you could do that? I hope you can, because the sacred scriptures bring so much to us. Now, who can free you, my dear listener, from anxiety or stress? Jesus can. Jesus can. Now, here's what the priest prays after the Our Father during Holy Mass. The priest says, "Deliver us, Lord, from every evil and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us from sin and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ." This prayer is borrowed from Jesus' words in John 17:15. So I want you to go to John 17:15. Where he says, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Now, how many of you, my dear listeners, have paid attention to what the priest prays during the Mass? I'm going to say it again. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil. Grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us from sin and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I do not ask that you take them out of this world, but that you keep them from the evil one. John 17:15. So I hope and pray that this program is touching you in a very special way. Now, there are three ways God answers prayers. Are you ready? I'm often asked about this from my grandson. "Mom, I prayed and prayed and nothing happened." And I keep saying prayer is not like a vending machine where you put a quarter in and out comes your special healing or your special answered prayer. So, and a lot of us believe and have believed that prayer is like a vending machine. We put a little prayer into it and, oh, wow, God's going to hear me. Well, yes, he wants us to have faith in our prayers, but there are three ways God answers prayer. The first, no, knows the answer because Jesus loves you too much and your request is not according to his will. The second is yes, but not yet. Oh, we don't like that one. Waiting is not our favorite. And number three, yes, that request is in accord with my holy will. Now, if you're listening and you've been praying like St. Monica for St. Augustine, you're thinking I'm at the 16-year mark or 16 days or 16 minutes, and you're praying and nothing is happening, there are three answers to this prayer, but you have to be vigilant like St. Monica was, right? It's no, because the Lord loves you too much and your request is not according to his will. Yes, but not yet. Not yet. Yeah, I have a special spouse for you. I have a special job for you, but not yet. And the third is yes, that request is in accord with my will. Now, I'm just going to give you a couple little samples of why God does not answer prayer. Now, open the book of Deuteronomy 1, verses 43 to 45, and that's in the New American Bible. I gave you this warning, but you would not listen. You defied the Lord's command and arrogantly went off into the hill country. And then it goes on. So I want you to look up Deuteronomy 1. Verses 43 to 45. So if God isn't answering your prayers and you're not sure if the answer is no or not yet, it's important to break open your sacred scriptures so you understand what is happening. Be informed, be catechized. Are you ready to do that? Or in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7, verses 14. If then my people upon whom my name has been pronounced humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear them from heaven and pardon their sins and heal their land. You must seek God's face and turn away from your sin in order for God to hear your prayer. Now, we all know about the book of Job, which isn't any favorite. I don't know of anyone that really loves the book of Job, but the book of Job, Chapter 27, verses 8 to 9. For what hope has the impious when he is cut off, when God requires his life? Will God then listen to his cry when distress comes upon him? See, God does not hear the cry of those who are irreligious and lack reverence for the Almighty. Now, Psalm 32, verse 2 to 5. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and whose spirit is no deceit. Because I keep silent, my bones wasted away. I groaned all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength withered as in dry summer heat. Psalm 66, too, my friends, I want you to read that. So I'm giving you some homework tonight, because these things are so important for you to become catechized and to learn, because I'm not here to entertain you. I call this beach chair catechetics. Remember? Beach chair catechetics. Now, from the outside, depression and the dark night of the soul. Oh, I told you many times that one time my friend years ago gave me a book on St. John of the Cross, The Dark Night of the Soul, which I did not want to read because I wasn't involved at that point in The Dark Night of the Soul. And I thought, oh, this is not a nice birthday gift. I really don't want this. But I began to read it, and it began to touch my life at a point when I needed to read it. So from the outside, depression and The Dark Night of the Soul bear a striking resemblance to one another. Did you know that? Yeah. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she really suffered a dark night of the soul. Most of her life she suffered, but she did not sway away from the Lord, did she? See, they're not entirely separate things, as we're taught by our spiritual directors. As St. John of the Cross noted long ago, depression, they called it that in the 17th century, melancholia, could go hand in hand with a dark night, whether by exacerbating it or resulting from it. So they were talking about depression back then. Now, the dark night of the soul, and that's what Mother Teresa was in. Remember, she kept going. Her faith kept her going, her prayer life. She kept believing, daily Eucharist, but she suffered dark night of the soul. She didn't hear the Lord. She didn't sense him. She wasn't having daily locutions or prayer. She just kept believing her gift of charity, her gift of love, her gift of mercy just ruled. So the dark night of the soul is not an evil to be endured. Oh, what? Yep, that's what St. John of the Cross said. The dark night of the soul is not an evil to be endured. It's a good for which we should be grateful. So if you're in a dark night of the soul right now, sensing you have no sense of where God is in your life, try to be grateful. Pray for that gift of gratefulness in your life, because it's in that gratefulness that you will find the Lord and that steadfast courage to continue on. You see, we are all in a spiritual warfare, and without prayer, a man is like a soldier who lacks food, water, and ammunition. Set aside time to speak with God. Do this no matter where you are today. Never deny Christ the gratitude that is due to him. And that quote is from Bishop Thomas Olmsted. You must start your day with prayer. Do you remember? You put your feet down and you give the Lord your fiat. You give the Lord your fiat. Now, today, the Holy Father released an encyclical on the Sacred Heart, and I hope that you look it up. It's very powerful. I will be doing a program on this with a special guest. But I was also involved with Paray Le Monial France with Kathleen McCarthy. I actually set up the entire World Congress in France for the beautiful missionaries of the Sacred Heart. And afterwards did a video on it for the international press. But there was a book written called The Firebrand. And this is what the Lord wants all of us to be. And I'm going to read this because I believe this is what God wants of all of us today. A volcano of hate has erupted, inundating the earth with the internal fire of discord, revolt, and anarchy. Let us fight fire with fire. Sacred Heart of Jesus, burning with love for us, set our hearts on fire with love for you. This, my friends, is prayer. All the evil and the anarchy and all the things that are catching you and your heart and your soul today, Jesus wants you and I to be a firebrand. I'm going to read it again. This is from Father Matteo Colli, who was the originator of the enthronement of the Sacred Heart. And I ask that you look him up. A volcano of hate, and this is written a long time ago, by the way, a volcano of hate has erupted, inundating the earth with the internal fire of discord, revolt, and anarchy. Let us fight fire with fire. And the Sacred Heart of Jesus, burning with love for us, set our hearts on fire with love for you. And what may, he said, what may be asked? Is the secret of the success? The answer is very simple. It's the flaming love of God. He is all on fire with divine charity. It is impossible that fire should not burn, that all who come in contact with it should not be enkindled with its heat. Like the Master, he has come to cast fire on the earth. And this was written a long, long time ago. So the Lord is asking us to be firebrands through the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to set people's hearts on fire for him, not to hold this anger and the anarchy and the hatred that is spewing on television and the media in our neighborhoods, everywhere. It's spewing all over the place, and it's engulfing our families, our grandchildren, our children. We need to be firebrands to set the world on fire with the love of Jesus. Now, in the beginning of the program, I shared with you about a priest in Boston that was a friend many years ago, in the 1970s, Father John Lanzanski. And he, guess what? I found a book today. This always happens before a radio broadcast. He had written, it was 1982, September. He gave me a book called Signpost on the Road to Success. And I really simply just found this today after all these years. And he said, he wrote in the cover, "This will make you a winner. Read it and reread it until you die. I find it a treasure. With blessings and love, Father John Lanzanski, 1982. So I prayed. It's a little booklet. And I said, "Lord, what is it that you want the listeners to hear today?" And this is what came up. And again, this is not a coincidence. This is a God incidence. It's called Facing Life as It Is. Don't say, "If things were different, I would do something." Do something with them as they are. Facing your life as it is now, and winning is the object. When things go hard and money stops coming in, or you lose your job and everything goes wrong, take a count of stock. See what's wrong. See what you've forgotten and go on and conquer. We dream what we do, what we would do if, ... Now wipe out the if. Dream. And do it regardless of circumstances. You say, "That cannot be done. It's impossible." Well, it can be done. There's no can't about it. The man who wills to do it, who puts up the fight and is willing to do the work, can put it over. A young man discovered a vein of gold high up in the mountains. He needed power. Oh, he needed money. He needed to know how to develop it. And he struggled and worked and failed. And sitting down one night after a long, hard day, tired, clear through and through, he said to himself, "I know where my difficulty is. I don't know anything about this rock. I don't know anything about geology, and I know nothing about mining. I'm going down to the city and find out." He came down to the city and went to the head of the mining department in the university and laid the case before him. The professor called up a mining engineer. He met the young man, and the young man told his story. The engineer said that he must go and see the vein. It took about a week or so to get there. And after the engineer had seen it, he said, "There are millions there, but it will cost a great deal to get in here and to develop it. You'll have to organize a stock company or sell it. Which will you do?" The young man said, "I'm going to develop it." It took him a year of hard training and study. He gave himself utterly to do it. Through the long winter months, he drove himself until when the springtime came, he had acquired the knowledge that he needed. It made him millions. The trouble with too many people is that they want to get it too easily. Most of us say, "If I had a chance, but circumstances were against me, I don't have an education, I don't have the pull, I don't have the money." We lay our failure to the lack of opportunity. We lay our failure to the lack of opportunity. The other fellow, handicapped worse than we, made opportunities. He fought until opportunities came to him. Success belongs to the man who simply wills to do it. He is the man who makes success come his way. The fellow who lies down and says, "I can't do it," is a failure. Never lose heart because the first efforts fail. Go back and find the reason. Pick up the wreckage of old failures and build them into success. You can do it. Again, this is from a little book I found today from 1982, given to me by Father John Lazansky, a Redemptorist priest in Boston, called The Signposts on the Road to Success. And he wrote, again, I'm going to say it for those who are tuning in. He wrote this to me: "This will make you a winner. Read it and reread it until you die. I find it a treasure." Can you imagine? I haven't read this probably since 1982. I found it in a stack of books, and I know many of us have stacks of books. And I said, this is meant for someone today who's listening, because it's about prayer. And in the beginning, sharing again the powerful healing that took place in my life on Friday night. Now, the other story that I want to share with you is called The Wrong Slant. It's short. It's in this little booklet. And I, again, believe that someone needs to hear this today. "It is no use. I might as well give it up. Every time I try, I only fail. Every job I get, I lose. Every dollar I get ahead, something happens and I have to use it. I am no further ahead now than I was 10 years ago. There is something dead wrong somewhere." I said to him, "Friend, what has been the difficulty?" "I don't know." I said, "I will tell you what your trouble is, the way it appears to me. You have the wrong slant on life. You've talked about your failing, your difficulties, until they've become a mental disease. I venture to say that the last man of whom you sought to find employment read you like a book." And I said, "I don't want that man in my crew or in my team. He's a chronic fault finder. You've had so much trouble that you've eaten it, slept with it, dreamt of it until it oozes out of your veins." He said, "I know it, but how can I overcome it?" It's the easiest thing in the world to overcome. Solomon's solution was to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In other words, go into partnership with God where you cannot fail. Well, but you'll say, that's religion. There's no religion about this. You are dead wrong. Religion is a man-made thing. This is a God-made thing. This is a common sense to link up with God. You take Jesus Christ as your Savior and you confess him as your Lord. The moment you do, you will receive God's life and ability, and you cannot fail. You cannot fail. If you will walk with him, you can no more fail than Jesus failed. But Jesus failed on the cross, didn't he? Yes, but it was the greatest victory which came out of that failure that has ever been known. That was divine strategy. He will make you a conqueror if you walk with him. I believe that we have listeners today who need to know that Jesus wants you to be a conqueror. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. He has living messages in our sacred scripture that will lift you out of the commonplace life that you have dug into, and you're hiding in your house, you're hiding in your company, you're hiding in your car, into the big real life of happiness and success. It is possible. It is possible. I want you to understand that God has a plan for all of us. And so I'm going to read a prayer that I felt was so powerful. I hope it comes up in my reading here today, because it's just so powerful for all those who are listening. It is one of my favorite prayers, and it is from Fulton Sheen, but also I want you to believe that God has, even when Daniel heard that the law had been signed, he continued his custom of going home to kneel in prayer and give thanks to his God in the upper chamber 3 times a day with the windows open towards Jerusalem. That's from Daniel 6:11. So I pray that you learn to cherish God's moments with you, and no matter how bad you are feeling today, that God has a plan for you. A person who prays and lives in God's grace will be protected by God, even if the answer is no, or wait, or maybe. God always answers prayers. Do not doubt it. Never doubt it. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for all those who are listening today, all those who just tuned in. We pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you hear and heal the hearts of all those who are listening, those who believe and do not believe. We know that you have a divine plan for all those who are listening today, thinking that they tuned in by mistake, or they're listeners every week, or whatever it is, that God has a plan for your life. Know that Our Lady is wrapping her mantle around you. And know, my friends, also, if you're scared about this election, your prayer, you can form a Jericho wall around all the ballots that go into the machines or written. You can call down the will of God on this election. Whatever is God's will, my friends, pray. Pray for God's will to be heard. Pray that we become what God wants us to be, and that all the anarchy and evil, as I read before, would be cast to the ground, for a volcano of hate has erupted, inundating the earth with the internal, infernal fire of discord, revolt, and anarchy. Let us fight fire with fire through the Sacred Heart of Jesus, burning with love for us. Lord Jesus, set our hearts on fire for love of you. And it's important as well, my friends, and we'll be having programs coming up, to enthrone your home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. No, not hanging a picture, but literally enthroning your home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And you can look it up, because there's a lot written about enthroning one's home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So you become a firebrand. You become a firebrand for the Lord, and that's what he's asking us. So we don't get judged on being lukewarm Christians, that we become firebrands for the gospel of the Lord. So until next Monday, may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And know that in God's eyes, you are special, and that he is calling you to his Sacred Heart. Amen.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.